Welcome to Christ Church. The following is a homily from our Sunday morning gathering in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Enjoy.
Take my words and speak through them. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you, our Lord and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. The parables. The parables are some of the most incredible and unique parts of the Bible. They were key to sharing the good news of Jesus and the gospel message. There are also some of the most difficult, at least for me, to discern the true message that Jesus was trying to share. Ultimately, the parables and the gospels display the purpose of Jesus, the Son of God, to fulfill the prophecies, to minister to others, to save the lost, and to better understand God. The parables of Jesus are primarily found in the Synoptic Gospels. They form approximately one-third of Jesus' recorded teachings. Christians place great emphasis on these parables, which they generally regard as the words of Jesus. Jesus' parables are seemingly simple and memorable stories, often with imagery, and all teach a lesson in our daily lives. Scholars have commented that although these parables seem simple, the messages they convey are deep and central to the teaching of Jesus. Christian authors view them not as mere similitudes that serve the purpose of illustration, but as internal analogies in which nature becomes a witness for the spiritual world. Many of Jesus' parables refer to simple everyday things, such as a woman baking bread, the parable of the leaven, a man knocking on his neighbor's door at night, the parable of the friend at night, or the aftermath of the road mugging, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Yet they deal with many religious themes, such as the growth of the kingdom of God, the importance of prayer, and the meaning of love. Jesus tried to teach the people in words that they would understand, but he also wanted them not just to hear the words that he spoke in the parables, but to have to think and to digest those words for the meaning that they conveyed. Dr. Kenneth Boa states that parables are extended figures of compassion that often use short stories to teach a truth or answer a question. While the story of the parable is not historical, it is true to life, not a fairy tale. As a form of oral literature, the parable exploits realistic situations but makes effective use of imagination. Some of the parables were designed to reveal mysteries to those on the inside and conceal the truth to those on the outside who would not hear. In a few of the parables, like last week and this week, Jesus not only shares the parable with the people, both believers and non-believers, and with the disciples, he also explains the parable. And I like those best. After this and other parables were spoken, the disciples would ask Jesus what it meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that liking they may not perceive and listening they may not understand." Jesus used the parables as a teaching method, both to those who believed and to the disciples. William Barclay states that the parables of Jesus use familiar examples to lead men's minds toward heavenly concepts. He suggests that Jesus did not form his parable merely as analogies, but based on an inward affinity between the natural and spiritual order. It may seem hard to get now, but for the people of the time, the parables resonated. Jesus wanted to go around the teachers of the law and bring his message directly to the people. By telling the parables, he was delivering a message that they would easily get. He would share religious truths that listeners could grasp. These truths often connected with things that were going on in the daily lives of those listeners. They could understand. What better way to get engaged in a story than to hear about something that you can connect with? Parables required those who were listening to think. Jesus told parables to see if we really understood the gospel. The truth is, understanding the gospel is the beginning of being to a transformed life. Each gospel is unique. The parables give a beautiful and complete picture of the Lord through various writings. Mark is recognized as the gospel of the suffering Son of God. Matthew is recognized as the gospel of the Messiah. Luke is the gospel of the Savior of all people. And John is the gospel of the Son who reveals the Father. Many people don't recognize the fact that parables aren't just stories. They are actually weapons in spiritual warfare. We have been, and still are, living in a very serious war zone, and peace is hard to find in it. What many people fail to realize is that the number one battle that takes place in our lives is in our head. The Bible tells us, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against it, the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Jesus Christ is unquestionably the greatest teacher the world has ever known and the most recognized figure in human history. No figure has been more frequently mentioned than he. Jesus was also the greatest help to mankind the world has ever known, and yet he was misunderstood. The Bible tells us, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Before Jesus interpreted the parable of the seed and the soils, he drew his disciples away from the crowd. The disciples said to him, "Why do you speak to the crowd in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." At this point in Jesus' ministry, when he spoke in parables, he explained to them only to the disciples. Many people wonder why Jesus let most of the people wonder about the meaning of the parables, and this is why. Last week we heard the parable of the sower and Jesus' explanation of the parable. This week we hear the parable of the weeds and the wheat. In the parable of the weeds, the growth of both the weeds and the wheat come from something. Both were a result of an action taken prior. At the start of the parable, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." Most people would easily accept that the wheat came about because the sower planted them. Weeds, on the other hand, seem to grow out of nowhere. In reality, just like There are seeds for desirable plants, such as wheat. There are seeds for weeds also. Learning from this, if anything bad appears in our lives, it had to be sown by someone or something. In the parable of the weeds, the owner's enemy, who represents the evil one, sowed the weeds. Similarly, other people, knowingly or unknowingly, could be the reason behind our bad outcomes. Sometimes it may be us that sow the seeds of weeds that later cause us certain issues without us realizing it. Since it's impossible for something to grow that hasn't been planted, we shouldn't expect to get anything from nothing. This is why the servants in the parable of the weeds were shocked to see weeds appear among the wheat. They questioned the sower, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" In the explanation of the parable, the righteous shining after the weeds are pulled out teaches us that the weeds, the people of the evil one, were responsible for making God's kingdom look bad. When the angels took them out, they are described as everything that causes sin and all who do evil, and their removal left the righteous shining. In the same way that the weeds are pulled out of the world and the righteous shine as a result, we should pull the weeds of negativity out of our lives to shine. We may have many positive attributes, but because negative attributes are also present, it diminishes the positive. I always try to believe that the glass is half full, not half empty. In this world, it takes a conscious and continuous effort to keep the weeds of negativity out of our lives. As you've likely witnessed, it takes no effort for the weeds to grow. The weeds grow as a default, stealing our time, health, and money if we do nothing to stop them. In addition to discouraging believers to be ready for the harvest, the parable of the weeds has three lessons. First, God will make a distinction in the future. You will reap what you sow and weed out the negativity in your life. Second, as a wise believer, be ready for and patiently await the harvest when God will make a clear distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. Sow good seeds so that you can reap accordingly. And third, weed out the negativity out of your life while adding positivity. I'd like to end with an expression of deep gratitude for all the prayers of my recovery from both of my hip surgeries, and from the love and concern that has been expressed by you, my family, over the past 8 months. My faith and your prayers have brought me to this day. When I was in the hospital and during both recoveries, I held my holding cross both day and night. I slept with it. I truly felt God's presence guiding the surgeons and the nurses and all those who have helped me along this way, and the healing power of God. The strength of prayer is so powerful, and I give thanks to our prayer team for all their dedication to this ministry. If any one of you would like to have a holding cross, let me know. I have a box in the back, and I would be glad to share with all of you to have one. Amen.